Ellie already.
Yeah.
Differently important. There's no more important anymore.
So. Gosh. Okay, we're both side. If Zion. Lifluf Shech. Lifluf. Lifluf is the gook from your eyes. Right? They, without. I think for a few seifim, maybe we'll skip going over the sugyas. There's a big machlokes rishonim as to what's the difference between inside the eye and outside the eye. The way we paskin is liflof shechutz la'ayin chotzeis afilu hulach, that if it's outside your eye, it's chotzeis whether it's moist or dry. Liflof sheba'ayin, if it's inside your eye, ain't no chotzeis, it's not chotzeis if it's moist. V'muyaveish chotzeis. But if it's dry, it's chotzeis even inside your eye. V'hu shehischel lehorik. And when is it considered dry? Only if it starts to get a greenish, I guess it's always hard to tell what yoruk means in Shas, but since this starts out a little yellowish, so the chor, it starts to get greenish. Some of that happens when it dries. Most of us don't leave it for so long. Shach points out that there's a machlokas rishonim, whether it depends if it's more or less than 3 days, and we paskin that it does not depend whether it's more or less than 3 days, just if it's inside your eye, outside your eye, if it's dry or if it's dry or moist, and it only counts as dry if it starts to get greenish. What is the difference between inside your eye and outside your eye and moist and dry? As I pointed out, these are all coming from, even Zachlok Shono had interpreted them, all come from Shnais and Tosefthus, none of which ever give the Svara. And often Rishonim, sometimes Rishonim discuss this far, sometimes not. Here, the Achronim argue whether the difference is permeability, that outside the eye it's not permeable, and inside the eye if it's soft it's permeable, or the difference is Kneda, that outside the eye people are more makbid, and inside the eye then they're less makbid if it is lach. So we're not sure in all these Se'ifim, it's a little bit of a frustrating thing, we're not sure. We have Masorah as to these halachos, and obviously whoever wrote these halachos knew why they were writing these halachos 2,000 years ago, but they did not preserve a clear Masorah as to whether the difference between the things that are chotzeis and aren't chotzeis is a matter of peda or a matter of permeability, similar to what we called roughly before, or the lashon here would be ayin beimaya. Okay, but either way, this is the halacha. Rabbi Akiva Eger here in Beis goes on a tangent, but very relevant tangent. Zion doesn't come up a ton halacha l'maisa. Usually people, even when they're not going to mikveh, usually people are pretty makbid to clean the gook out of their eyes when they wake up in the morning, and certainly when women go to mikveh, they wash themselves enough that it's usually not an issue. But here he discusses, what about the mucus inside your nose? So he points out, you see, when it comes to things like this, one could go crazy. But he points out that lonit and torah machal sharis, A, you're not supposed to go crazy, and B, he says, just in terms of halacha, there are three different parts of your body. One part of your body is the galut part of your body. And here I'm going to just approximate for now. The revealed part of your body that's generally revealed, that we're very machmer, then there's beis hastarim, a part of your body that is sometimes revealed. And so that's the general consensus. Beis Hastarim means sometimes revealed and sometimes hidden, like the inside of your mouth or your eyes, right? You're sometimes closed by your eyelids. The inside of your mouth is closed when you close your mouth. The folds and crevices sometimes of your body are, closed when you walk and they hang over each other, depending on exactly your shape and size, etc. That's Beis Hastarim. Beis Hastarim we'll get to later, but also Chatzitza is a problem, although we see that we're a little more makel on Beis Hastarim in various ways that we will get to slowly over the next two simanim. And then there's something called Balua. Balua means swallowed up inside your body. Balua, if something's deep in my throat, then there's no problem of Chatzitza at all. And he points out, if you go very, all the way inside your nose, that's already Balua. That's someplace which no one ever sees. And the same is true for all the orifices of your body. And then you don't even need roi lubyas mayim. It doesn't even need to be fit for getting wet, meaning there's no problem of chatzitza. Not to mention the fact that, of course, no one's makbid. So in general, so he points at number one, inside is balua, it is not a problem. And number two, he says that people are makbid to it. Soa means... Toa in this whole sif doesn't mean feces. Otherwise, you'll have a lot of trouble reading certain parts. It means dirt. But it means the part that's coming out of your nose, not the parts all the way inside. You're supposed to have some mucus inside your nose, right? It's the same for your ears, right? You're supposed to have some wax inside your ears that's healthy. Apparently, it's not healthy to remove it, to clean it too much. So, therefore, you're supposed to, yeah, you're not supposed to go with stuff dripping out of your nose and try to blow your nose, etc., and be, like, normal. But maybe even a little further than normal. But you're not supposed, you're supposed to be normally clean. You're not supposed to take out those things that are supposed to be in your body, like the mucus inside your nose that's not, like, coming out, and the wax inside your ears, etc., etc. Those are normal parts of the body and are not supposed to be removed. But you do have to clean your, you know, the outside parts of your ears and no inside your nose, etc., the parts where, you know, you're not supposed to have stuff.
Being that, like, it's normal for those things to be there, or because it's kind of mostly concealed?
I think, but he's saying two separate points here. Number one, all the way in Tbolua, it's not a problem, even if you would, like, stick glue there. Right. Number two, the kepeda here is on the tsoa, the things that are considered dirty, etc., not the things that are considered normal. So it's two separate things, each of which is enough to make it okay.
You wouldn't say, like, if she had a really bad cold and then she took, like, nose spray, so now there's something new there that's normally there, that wouldn't be a problem.
So if it's all the way in, then it wouldn't be a problem, because it would be blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
In general, nose spray I don't think is an issue anyway, because it's just some teapot of liquid that gets absorbed and gets washed away by the water anyway. But let's say it would be, you know, you would, like, I don't know, stick something. I don't think there is such a thing.
Like dazzling, you know?
What?
I think some people do dazzling if
right, although they usually they don't do it all the way inside.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that taka you should not put before you go to mikvah. Okay, just like maybe I will, if I can find the. One second. I had the right page here. He had Ray Force has a nice practical description. But if not, then it will have to wait. Here we are. So, for example, what does he say? Fair, clear the mucus for her nose, but not deeply in her nose. Right? The outer ear crevice should be cleaned. But again, it means the outer parts where stuff are not supposed to be. Okay. He has a very short description. Fine. Se'if ches. Kechol. Kechol is literally, like we say, kechol, right? Blue stuff. They have blue salve they would put on their eyes. There are actually two reasons, or maybe two different types of kechol they would put in their eyes. There's medicinal, and there was eye makeup. The Shach, if cutting your test, discusses the two types of kechol. Anyway, kechol, sheba ayin, eino chotzeit, shechos lain chotzeit. Inside your eye, it's not chotzeit. Outside your eye, it is chotzeit. V'im haisa, posachas, v'otzema, say, nehal tadr, av shechos lain, eino chotzeit. If she was here, it says, Porchos is the lashon. Porchos is no problem. What does it mean? It's machlokes rishonim. Some people say it means if she cried a lot, if a lot of tears came out of her eye, then it's not chotzeis because the tears really wash it away and make it very permeable. The Taz thinks, the Rambam says, it means she opened her eyes when she went to the mikvah. I guess if she opened her eyes when she went to the mikvah, that sort of stretches it out and makes it permeable. We paskin like Rashi. The Beis Yosef found in the Taz, it means she's always opening and closing her eyes. She's always opening and closing her eyes. That, I guess, like weakens and washes away the kol that's outside the eyes, and makes it permeable. In general, here also you have machlokas. What's the difference between inside the eye and outside the eye? Is it that makbid, right? Oh, well, you're not makbid what's inside the eye. You're makbid outside the eye. Or is it about whether it's permeable? Oh, what's inside the eye is permeable because it gets wet all the time. What's outside the eye is not. But in any case, we distinguish in inside the eye, outside the eye. In every single sef, you'll have machlokes what the reason is, the same two shitas. And outside the eye, if it's the Gemara's lashon is parchos, which we say means she's always blinking her eyes, then it sort of washes it away and loosens it, and then it is not a problem. Yes?
Practically, doesn't everybody blink?
No, it means more than normally.
Doing this?
No, I assume there's some people who blink a lot. I don't know.
Well, that much more than anybody else. I mean, I don't understand why it's, how it's a distinction. It should depend on if it's there or not.
No, so I... No.
We don't follow this. We wash
our... Yeah, again, these things are not... do not really come off a lot of the mice in houses. They even wash their face. You know, we have enough things we can wash your face with.
The thing is making her blink that often?
No. I think it just means if a woman blinks more often than usual, then it sort of, you know, loosens and washes away the kol mechutz la'ayin and makes it permeable. Test. Dam yovesh alamaka chotzitz. Dried blood that is on your, you know, if the yavamaka and the blood dries on it, that is chotzeitz. The rear shavasocha eno chotzeitz, the mucus or whatever it is. What do you call the stuff in a wound when it starts to heal?
Pus.
Pus. Okay. I'm not sure if exactly it's pus. Here it sounds like an open cut. Open cuts don't have pus, do they? Maybe they do. Okay. The stuff inside the cut that's like starting to coagulate and heal is not chotzeitz. That's considered like skin because it is soft. We'll see. Yatzar b'mitocha. What if it's definitely talking about the coagulating part, right? So if it's inside the maka, that is not chotzeitz. What if it goes out from inside the maka? And here the simple shot is there's okay. So machlokes, what does it mean outside? Does it mean to the sides or above the surface of the skin? Chrono or machver, even just above the surface of the skin. So basically it's like scabbing on top, not just inside the cut. Koltok gimel yamim lachu ve'ino chotzes. Within 3 days it's moist and it's not chotzes. Acher mikan yavashu v'chotzes. Afterwards it is dry and it's chotzes. There seems to be a yesod here that there's a difference between moist and dry, right? Or soft and dry, really. The rear inside is always soft and moist because it can't harden. It's not like out exposed to the air. When it starts to scab over for the first 3 days, it's still soft. After 3 days, it becomes hard, and then it is chotzeitz. What difference does it make if it's hard or if it's soft? So here you have a machlokas rishonim. The Mordechai thinks, well, if it's soft, it's permeable. And if it's hard, it's not permeable. Right, Aili Beimaya in Aramaic, or Nichnas Bomayim in Hebrew. And Rashi says, no, it's a fundamental difference. Whatever soft is considered part of your skin, and therefore it's part of you. Part of you is not chotzeitz. Right, if you go wart, that's not chotzeitz, right, because it's part of you. Whatever is dry is considered not part of you anymore. And what's not part of you is chotzeitz. So in any case, whether the difference is Techazer, the Mordechai, whether it's permeable or not, or Rashi, no, they're both not permeable. But soft is considered part of your body, and dry is considered a foreign object on your body. So dry is a problem, and therefore what? Lefikach isha balas chatotim tzricha lochav maimach yisrachu. What if a woman has a lot of sores, which I guess have a lot of dry like scabs on them? Then she has to soak in the water until they get soft. She has to soak in the water until they get soft. So, lemaisa, what if you have various like hard types of scabs and things like that? You have to soak in the water until they get soft, and then it'll be okay.
When you're doing chafifa, or once you're in natural
mikvah? No, before the mikvah. Basically, if a woman calls and says, oh, I have like scabs or sores or whatever, and like there's hard like red stuff, then you tell her, oh, so you have to soak in the bath for a long time, soak for half an hour in the bath to make it very, very soft. And then you could tofu.
We're not worried that it's going to like get dry.
Correct. I mean, eventually it will, but.
What about like today, like we've been talking about?
That's a great question. So I guess you could soak also. Meaning, you can't do certain chafifa. For example, combing your hair. Remember, we said it was the most sensitive part that you can't do obviously on Shabbos or Yontif. But you can soak, right? Even if you have to soak in cold water, right? You can soak, right? What if it's your whole body, and we're normally, you know, I mean, that'd be bad anyway. We're normally machmer not to soak your whole body on Shabbos or Yom Tov in cold water. So how would we make on this case? Now, here we get a very strange Taz. It's not Taz's fault. He's just quoting earlier Makoros, right? But there's a minhag from the days of the Rishonim, and the Beis Yosef quotes many Rishonim of this minhag, that a woman should take off all her, some sort of scabs, right? I mean, there's all different kinds of scabs. There's ones from, how do you say shkin in English?
Boils,
and there's ones from cuts, and there's ones from sores. The woman should peel off all her scabs. That was a minhag in the time of the Rishonim. Where did this come from? So here we have a very, very strange story brought down in the Taz that the wife of the Maharak, although I have a footnote that points out that it's not exactly who the right Gersa is, exactly who it was. But anyway, one of the Rishoni Ashkenaz, he would have to check her whole body when she was unclothed to make sure that she took off all the scabs because he didn't trust her because it hurt to take off the scabs. And therefore, he didn't trust her and he would check. This is a big chiddush. The Sidri Torah analyzes, like, what's the big deal here? The Sidri Torah says it must be that this shita held that all scabs may ikar hadin, were a chatzitza. Therefore, he was afraid that may ikar din she had a chatzitza. But if you look in the Rishonim, put in the Beis Yosef, almost all the Rishonim disagree with this, and they say no. There's a minhag to take off all the scabs and the boils and everything else before you tovel. That's just a minhag of chomer bi'alma, you know, when you can. But it seems to be that if you can't, then there weren't nohag in that case. So basically, what's the chakir here? There's a minhag in the Rishonim. The minhag of the Rishonim is to take off scabs from boils, etc., etc. There's two ways of interpreting this minhag. The mainstream way is it's just a minhag. And therefore, if you can and it doesn't hurt, you should take off the scab. And if it hurts, then you don't have to take it off. It's just a minhag if you can. There's a sheet that's yachid of, quoted in the, it's not clear, maybe it was Sarbi Kotzi, maybe it was we're not sure exactly who. Maybe it was the Marach or Zerua, we're not sure. Maybe it was the Marach, who held it was me'ikar adin, chotzeitz. Like a real scab is chotzeitz me'ikar adin. And therefore, he was very, he also quotes Sarikotzi, and the Marak or someone else. So if it's me'ikar adin, then it's a big problem. And that's why he was so machmer with his wife. We do not paskin that way. We paskin that, no, it's a minhag. What does that mean? If a woman has any type of scabs of various sorts, if she can take it off and it's not painful and it's not going to make it, you know, gonna harm her injury, then she should. Sometimes, meaning most of us, even when we don't get them, if we pick scabs more than we should. But I think that's human nature. But if it's a scab which you can pick and remove, then you should pick and remove. What if the scab you cannot, then is it koev if it hurts to remove? Then we do not hold like this story quoted in this Taz. We hold that no, it's a minhag to remove scabs if they hurt, or if it's bad for your health to remove them, then you just soak them till they get soft instead. Because the minhag is only when it is like normally possible thing to do. Unlike this story brought down in the Taz. I don't know. Then, I mean, that seems to be a rare scenario.
I don't know, some sort of burn wound or something, she can't get wet.
She can't go to the mikvah. Yeah, how's she going to the mikvah if she can't get wet? So, I mean, it sounds like a weird scenario. I don't know. I mean, what if you had, like, hard scabs that you couldn't soak? It might be a problem. But I just...
She has a
Yeah, it seems to be an unlikely scenario. Yeah.
Certain of the preparations that involve water.
Mm-hmm.
Could you stay in the mikvah longer and accomplish those things by...
I mean, theoretically, yes, but it's not practically the way it works in modern day mikvahs. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a prep room for a prep room. The mikvah is for toveling. It's just, you know, it doesn't work for the efficiency of the mikvah that way. For all different reasons. A, just things are supposed to run smoothly, everyone gets their time. There are many prep rooms, one mikvah. B, you don't want to get too much of your cuts opening into the mikvah water, which everyone's sharing, etc. So it's not practical. Okay. I got the whole discussion of the 3 days and Pesach Tshuva Zayin. Is it 72 hours, or is it like Mitzvah Yom Kekulo 3 days? And Be'ikr, the Chassam Sofer assumes 72 hours. It's also a discussion in the Pesach Tshuva Sukkot Ches, in this story of the Maharak and the Sarmi Kotzi, quoting the Taz, how is he allowed to look at her when she was in Ida? So, okay, he says either he looked at her after Tefillah, or it was like Minhag Yehuda, and she was about to tell it was okay. In any case, for many reasons, we wouldn't put that in practice. And the most obvious one being that we paskin that scabs are not chotzeis ve'ikra din, you just have to soften them. It's just a minog to pick them if it doesn't hurt. Okay. Now, before we go on to Yud, I have to mention the shachs of cutting Yud Gimel. They're all, if you look at Zion, Ches, and Yud, Zion, if you look in the Baragoli, quotes the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Zion and Aleph. And in Sif Ches, he quotes the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Zion and Aleph. And in Sif Tes, he quotes the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Zion and Aleph. This is all one long Gemara. Like machine gun. This halacha, this halacha, this halacha. There may or may not be a gersa that tells us, that says, and all these chumras are only for taros and not for bala. Right? That's a machlokes rishonim. Whether siv zayim, ches, and tes are across the board or only a chumra of taros. Meaning me'ikar din is really not a problem. But it's only a chumrah of Taros. I skipped too many pages. Here we have the Liflo Sheva Ayin, the Kol Sheva Ayin. The ribda de kuslisa, which means the maka, and then the Gemara just goes on. But Tosas points out some gersos had written here, no kolhani letaros of alabala tahora, etc., etc. Okay, and our printed middle of the Gemara doesn't say that, but. The Rif and the Rambam and the Ravid and the Bahag and the Rach and many, many, many Gaonim had this Girsa, that these problems are only for Taros. For Bala, Lifluf is never a problem, Kol is never a problem, and the Yatzarir Mitocha is never a problem, etc., etc. Do we rely on that Girsa? We don't have that Girsa in our Gemara. Do we rely on that Girsa or not? The Shach says, Das HaRayvid, V'Rashba, V'Rambam, V'Rabinu Tam, V'Smag, V'Shar Kamigo Onem, that this is only for Taros, but not for Bala. So he's not sure, do we rely on that Girsa or not? So first of all, he says, everyone agrees not L'Chachiba. Everyone agrees also L'Chachiba. The question is, B'Dievet. So L'Maisa, what does the Shach decide? The Shach decides that he makes a compromise. If you have any of the things in Sif, Zayin, Ches, and Tes, Lechatchila, we're for sure machmir. Because clearly, anything that's chutz is for taros. At least lechatchila should be machmir, b'zman is that for a husband. What about b'di'evid? So, b'di'evid, he says, if you can tovel again, you should tovel again. But if you can't tovel again, then you could be mako. So, l'maisa, if you can make it back to the mikveh, then you should go tovel again, if you discover one of these lifluf or etc. But, lamaisa, if you can't make it back to the mikvah, then you do not have to tovel again because me'ikra din, he assumes that we hold like this girsa, which the Gaon seems to have had, the Hag, or Rabbeinu Hananel, or Sadia Gaon, and most Rishonim endorse. that these things are not chotzeis for bala, they're only chumras for taros.
Isn't it all the function of whether it's makbid and emia?
Yes, so in the Shir Shiva, the lady says here, what's machlokas? The machlokas here is it that a woman's really machbid, or that really for sure none of this is machbid? It's just that her goes are in taros because it's something which is like close to being machbid. So you ask, why not just look nowadays what people are machbid, what they're not machbid? Is a great question. The answer is, or really, you should just look nowadays at what people are machbid, what they're not machbid. But, A, since sometimes it's hard to tell, and B, you know, when you do have a precedent, it's hard to overturn precedent, and C, we're not sure exactly in some of these, I guess A and B, okay. Since sometimes it's hard to tell what people are machbid on, and we do have precedent, Lemaisa will go with what it says in the postgame, which means that if you have Lifluf Yavish or Kol Shechutz La'ayin or the rear Sheyotza Min Hamaka, Bidi Eved, and you discover you have to Tfilah, you should Tovel again. But if you can't Tovel again, then you could just let it go. It's fine because the strong majority opinion is that these Chumers are only for Taros. The one exception, the Shach says, and this you have to go back to where everything comes from, is Lifluf Shechutz La'ayin. Because Lifluf Shechutz La'ayin is actually not mentioned in this Gemara. This Gemara says Lifluf Sheva Ayin. So there's a big machlokas Rishonim about the relationship. What does that mean? Does that mean Chutz? Does that mean In? The simple shot is a different Mishnah about Lifluf Chutz La'ayin. And this Gemara is not discussing Chutz La'ayin. Chutz La'ayin is Me'ikra Din.
Right? So basically, Lifluf Chutz La'ayin, that's Chutzitz. Why? Concludes the Shach. Because that's not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara.
The Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's implicitly mentioned in the Gemara, but we're a Machmer. No, but all the other things,
right? The rest of Sifim Zayin to test, Lechatchila Aser, Bidi Eved, depends. Kitbo Shainis, Im Efsher.
If she can, she totals again. If she can't,
then Efsher. Then she's Tahora.
Because Me'ikra Din, we hold that it's only Chumras for Taros.
The assumption was that there was different standards for Taros and Bala.
Right. Well, the assumption is that it would have to be just a Chumra. So the assumption would have to be, this is what Shimon Levi says in Shurim here, all these things are really Enomakvid. However, they were machmir for Taros anyway, even though it's Eino Makvid. Okay, if this, why were they machmir for this and not for everything else that's Eino Makvid for Taros? So here we're not sure. Somewhere they were machmir for Taros, even though it's Eino Makvid. Why? Maybe because it could be confused with something similar that is Makvid. It's not exactly clear why they were machmir for Taros.
But even the time of Taros, was extended to Bala,
No, so it depends. Meaning, if the woman was Osek Bataros, then it would be Ake for Bala as well, because it was a package deal. But if the woman wasn't Osek as Bataros, then it wouldn't be a problem. So it depends, like, did she live in the Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laaretz, etc. Did she live in a town where they kept talking Bataro or not? That's a simple shot. Okay, Yud. Retia Shalomaka Chotzetzes. This, by the way, is a bombshell. Although, it's a not a chiddush at all, meaning this is a Mishnah in Miklaos, and there's lots of Mishnais and Tosefthas that are pretty much equivalent. Like, for example, a little later we're going to learn in Se'if Chav Gimel, Eged Shalamaka V'kaskas and Shalashever. The bandage and the cast are also chotzeitz. What is a retia? A retia is not a bandage. It is, you know what, how do they say band-aid in modern-day Hebrew?
Plaster.
What is plaster?
Plaster.
So why is a bandage called plaster? So it goes back to a retia versus an eged shalamaka. In the old days, they didn't have band-aids. What did they do to wounds? I think it's called a poultice in modern English, although it's not really used in modern English. It's like modern English if you need to read, like, I don't know, like Jane Austen or something. They would make like a concoction, a pasty concoction of herbs and whatever passed for medicine in their days. And they would smear it on the maka, and it would like cover the maka with this paste. That's our Mirareach Ratiyah B'Shabbos Chayachatas from Mirareach. right? If you smooth it out, that's a Phil Shabbos Mareach, because you're smoothing a paste onto something. So that is a retia that's al gabe ha maka. It's not like our band-aids. Our band-aids are merely protective. It was protective and had the drugs inside it. So the retia shal maka is chotzetzetz. Here, what do we see from here? We see from here that even though something is for healing, we don't say hayu revise, right? There's no heter revise for something that's for healing. It could be the heter revise for something that is for life and death, but not necessarily for a stam, something that you'll die as soon as you take it off. But something that's stam, regular medicine, to heal regular things, we don't say a heter of revise. The big question is, why is this a chiddush that retia shel maka is called tzetzes? Because what would you have said? If I asked you, and you didn't know any Mishnayos or Tosefta's or Shulchan Aruch, I asked you, let's take it to nowadays, the band-aid on the maka, right? Is that chotzetz or not? Or the poultice on the maka? What would you have said?
Yeah.
You'd say it's chotzetzes. What would you have said? I would have said no. Why? It's a meat of her body. And it's a makrid. She doesn't want it. She's not makrid. She doesn't want to remove it. She wants it to stay there. She davka needs it there.
Yeah, but only for now.
Aha, okay, good. That's the big question. The big, big, big machlokas is retia sh'al hamaka v'chule. It's obviously considered maka. Why is it considered makpedes? Why is it something she doesn't want? It's something she does want. So, Ellie says I think, most mainstream opinion. What's the most mainstream opinion? The most mainstream opinion is the Baal Deir Shulchan is a nice summary here. He quotes from the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek says, why? Because it's like a ring. You want it now, but you're makrit to remove it later. Everything you need for medicine, not things you need your whole life, but those are very rare to have things you need your whole life. Right? Retia shel maka, how long does the retia stay on the maka? I have no idea, but probably a few days. Right? Then the maka heals. And when the maka heals, do you want the retia on it? Absolutely not. You're very upset that there's a retia on the maka. You want to get rid of it. If the doctor says you need to keep the retia for 7 days, then after 8 or 9 days, you for sure want to get rid of this retia. It's very annoying to have a retia on you. So says the Tzemach Tzedek. It's because you're makbid. You're makbid alav achar zman. Right? When the time comes, you want to remove it. Let's say you have a cast. The doctor says you need a cast for 6 weeks. So you're itching to get that cast off after 6 weeks. Obviously, within 6 weeks, you need it. But after 6 weeks, you're itching to get the cast off, and therefore it's called makbid because it's makbid later. Okay. That is the Tzemach Tzedek explanation. The Ksav Sofer has a different explanation. Says the Ksav Sofer, because you're makbid lehasiro bitmidos even now. You're makbid even now to take it off right away. Why? Because in the old days, when they had a retia, you would have to pick it up and remove it often in order to check on the maka and maybe to clean it, etc. That was part of the treatment. Part of the treatment is that you had to remove it every once in a while. And therefore, even now, you're makbid to take it off. You see how the Ksav Sofer gives you a heter. But if you don't have to take it off all the time to check the maka, then it's not called makbid. Right? This is a kula. Right? How is this a kula? Then in that case, let's say you have stitches or a cast or something which says, no, it just has to stay on a long time. You don't take it off every 3 hours to check. Then, like most things nowadays, right? You don't have to take them off every 3 hours to check. Then you would say, no problem. Right? The Chachmas Adam in the Binas Adam, which is his footnotes, has a big Chiddush L'Chumra. He says, why? Because if you were not sick, you wouldn't want it. That's a big chumrah. What is he saying? anything which you want because you're sick, but if you were healthy, you wouldn't want, is called makbid. Like, makbid means makbid in normal circumstances, not makbid in your circumstances. And therefore, it's not normal to be sick, right? You're usually healthy. Anything a healthy person wouldn't want is called makbid. That's a big chumrah.
Even if it's for life.
Even if it's for life. Anything a healthy person would... So, this is a big chumrah. What do I mean? I mean, why is this a chumrah? Anything medical is called makbid. Why? Because an average healthy person would be makbid to get rid of it, right? If I took Isaac right now, and I put a cast on him, or I put stitches on him, or I put a band-aid on him, or anything else, he would be makbid to get rid of it right away, because a normal, unlike, you know, jewelry and things like this, because the normal person doesn't want it. Okay, then anything medical is automatically a kpeda. That's a big chumrah. This is a big kula. Anything you don't remove all the time is called eino makbid. That's a big kula. That is the ksav sofer. That tzemach tzedek. You know, and that would be, the truth is, Reb Moshe would lean in that direction, even though, you know, he didn't necessarily take it all in that direction, as we'll get to. You know, whatever you don't remove all the time for your regular daily living, make number to your makbid. The tzemach tzedek says, most poskim assume the tzemach tzedek. This is the mainstream psak is like the tzemach tzedek. No, it's called makbid because you're going to remove it. After a certain amount of time, because you're going to be makbid to remove it later, because you want to get rid of it later. In which case, there we get the big issue in modern day halacha, which is in modern day medical halacha, which is, well, what counts as later? If you can remove it in a year, if you can remove it in a month, meaning how soon is later? Remember what the Zichron Yosef says, right? Said the Zichron Yosef. He says, nah, if it's pan achas man meruba, that's different. Okay, now we have to figure out how to translate that Zichron Yosef, what's his man meruba, etc. But that's where you get all the action nowadays. Everyone's arguing about exactly how to apply this tzemach tzedek, and maybe... maybe we will, okay, gets very complicated. Okay, maybe we'll see how far we get in the Shulchan Aruch before we try to deal with a couple dozen applications. But just to throw in some factors, for example, you know, let me just, Ray Forrest has a nice summary here. He brings down five shitas on how long would be Bechlal the Semach Tzedek, right? How long does it have to stay on to count as makbid achar zman. So, some people like 7 days. What's the chalkas yov saying? 7 days. Some people say 30 days. Some people say 3 months. Some people say 6 months. Some people say 12 months. And the pshat of the Rav Moshe sounds like, no, any fixed amount of time. Maybe it doesn't matter how many days, as long as it's a fixed number of days, and for that number of days, no matter what you do, you're not removing it. Maybe that would be good enough. So, exactly how would you, what are the details of this? Oh, you brought it right first. Look at this.
What's the halakha that does it not say the Moshe? Like, wouldn't the Tanakh just say it any amount of time?
No, you're saying the opposite. You're saying no matter how long it's usser, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you could say he's saying he's saying the opposite. No matter how long It has to be stayed on. It is mutter. Let me just... here we are. He has a footnote here where he says... Rav Moshe says that if it must remain in place for any given time, it's not a chatzitza. The Chalkes Yoav says 7 days. The Rabbeinu Yerucham interpreted Chalkes Yoav says 6 months. There's a Yad Sholem in Chas Yitzhak who says 3 months. Other poskim say 1 month, etc. There are many shitas. Is it? How long counts as Eino Makbid? How long counts as Eino Makbid? After all, maybe he just meant a short amount of time. So basically, you could say, Rav Moshe, any fixed time. If the doctor says you have to leave it for a fixed time, maybe that's better than Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek meant there was no fixed time. Here, there's a fixed time. Or you could say, maybe 7 days, or you could say maybe 30 days, or there's a shita, 3 months. Basically, what we're saying is that that this might be better than the ratiyah. The ratiyah was only left for a short amount of time. Yeah, you put it on for a couple hours or so, and then you'll check to see what it's like. I have no idea. I mean, you make whatever you want. Some say, what were the other shitas I brought down? Or that he brought down. He brought down 6 months. He brought down one year. I think those are the shitas. If you look here, it's on page 282, is his footnote when he brings down all these things. Maybe I'll even Xerox these pages and give it out because or you could say, eight. Never. Right? That's what Samuel is saying. Shan, so it's saying never. If eventually you don't want to remove it, even if it's 2 years later, then it is a problem, right? Braces, right? Big question, right? Sometimes braces, you're not removing for more than a year. But nonetheless, some people are macher and say it's a chatzitza. Right? Are married women allowed to get braces? Meaning the shayla isn't should they not go to the mikvah for a year. Shayla is should they just not get braces, right? So many people are knowing that married women can't get braces. Because, what if you need more than a year? It doesn't matter. Sammy says, no matter how long you leave them, since eventually you'll be makbid to remove them, then they're usher. So I'll say, no, if it's a year, that's not called the makbid leaver. That's in a long time, like the Zohar Yosef. Okay, so it's very, very unclear. You see, there's a lot of room for machlokas.
Also, sounds like someone wrote, so last year, you only want them, even if you said you would want them, it's only because you're perfect teeth. You don't really want them.
No, that's this Venus Adam. Okay, but we don't paskin like him. That's what Venus Adam says. Yeah, it's not called wanting it if you only want it because you're sick or because your teeth are crooked. No, we paskin Basher Rushan. You want them. Hey, you wouldn't want to remove your braces. You paid thousands of dollars to put them on, right?
Do prosthetic limbs fall into this conversation, or is that different because it's not like the doctor says keep it on for this amount of time and you have to take it off? Or
So I'm not really a bucking prosthetic limbs, how they work. Certainly like in the old days, like they were just like some piece of wood that you would like, I don't know, tie on with a string. Aura. L'chori, you would take that off for a mikvah, right? Certainly you could, l'chachila. Nowadays, maybe they have fancier ones that are actually attached, right? So if you're going to leave them forever, then avada, they're not chotzitz, right? I mean, Tzemach Tzedek would say, if you're going to leave them forever, of course there's no problem. L'chori, most of these things would be forever. The Rabbi Forst here has a very, very nice summary. Let's just... take a minute to tell you over some Rav Forst summary, and then you could find the book and you could see. He has a summary of various. he has a summary of various sudden lahakel when it comes to. He throws in all chatzitzas, but like medical chatzitzas, etc. Right? Sudden lahakel of things that are not considered makbid. The number one he has right? Let's just factors for medical chatzitzos. So one factor is not about makbid. One is revise. Remember there's a heter of revise? But the heter of revise is very questionable. L'chor it's only sakana. It's not anything which makes you healthy. L'chor revise is only sakana. That's the context we find it in. And if you remember the Pesach Tshuva, maybe it's only for short works, maybe it's only for part of your body. So it's a tzad l'hakel, but it's hard to make this a clear, not an independent heter. Why? Because maybe only sakanas nefashos, that's the pashup shot, maybe only if it's part of your body, maybe only natural, right? These are all what we saw in the Pesach Tshuva back in Sif Yud. Maybe only if it certainly works. Also, maybe we did not see this, but there's some posts who say, maybe only if it's permanent, if you're never going to remove it. So, like those dreadlocks, which you were never going to remove. So therefore, it's a little tricky to know how to apply this. Like, when are you going to get all these factors together? Not so pashut. So the simpler heter is miyot ve'eino makbid, right? But that's a simpler heter, right? You could be mach ultra vise. Lemaisa, that's going to be a tzad lahakel. Because you're never going to be sure it's exactly like the dreadlocks of the Rama. Because you have all these spekos as to when revise applies. Miyot ve'eino makbid is the better heter. But then you have the tzemach tzedek. But the tzemach tzedek, who says, makbid lahasiro achar zman. And then you have to figure out, what are the tzadim lahakel within the tzemach tzedek to say that even if you're makbid lahasiro achar zman, I mean, you can't say the tzemach tzedek's wrong. I mean, unless you say the Ksav Sofer, or the, remember, the Binas Adu is worse than the Tzemach Tzedek. He says, even if you're not Makbid L'Sir Achar Zman, if it's just for disease, that's called Makbid. So, what are the Tzadim L'Hakel? What are the Tzadim L'Hakel? So there are many Tzadim L'Hakel which apply in some scenarios. So one, which always applies, is maybe the Ksav Sofer is right. And anything which you don't take off to check all the time is not considered makbid. Right? Okay. But the that is a that is a little trickier. But there are other tzadim l'hakel that he brings here. What are some of the tzadim l'hakel he brings? So he says, for example, maybe if it hurts to remove. Some things hurt to remove, some things don't, right? Meaning, not everything hurts to remove, but some things would hurt to remove. Maybe if it hurts to remove, it's okay, like the scab, right? We don't pass them like the tas. However, not so pashut, because those scabs were a part of your body, right? Like scabs. Again, unlike the weird story in the tas, but most poskim differentiate between gufa and not gufa. Meaning, even though taka, a scab that hurts, you could just soften, but that's because you could soften and become part of your body. Pasha is not such a good tzad l'hakel. Another good tzad l'hakel, which he has many mekoros for, is maybe, this is a big thing, maybe if it falls off or disappears without removing it, that's not considered makbid. Makbid means you remove it. What about, you ever heard of dissolving stitches? Someone must have once had self-dissolving stitches. You never remove them. They just disappear. Maybe that's not called makbid. Makbid is you want to remove them. Not if they disappear on their own. Now, it's tricky, because you want them to not be there anymore. But you don't want to remove them, right? Or there's something that fall off on their own. I'm not sure which common medical things fall off on your own, but dissolving stitches, a big side of the hakel. Basically, the post will say, if you have dissolving stitches, you can be makel, because maybe it's not called makbid, because you never remove them. They disappear on their own. Or other people say that there is a lechem asimel who says, maybe if it's sorech uman lehasiro, it's different. Why? Here, I mean, you could say different ways, but let's say you can't remove them on your own. Now, here, the question is, what does it mean you can't remove them on your own? Lechor doesn't mean like you might get infected if you, like stitches. You can remove stitches on your own. They just don't like you to, because they like to have control. No, for good reasons, right? But like, it's not rocket science to remove stitches, right? When we were kids, I hope my mother won't get arrested at this point, the statute of limitations ran out. We got injured so much that we would always get stitches. We cut the line at the emergency room because, like, we were regular customers. And my mother just removed the stitches herself. She's like, I can't take you to the emergency room every time you hurt yourself, and then 7 days later. That's ridiculous. But there are some things which, like, you can't really remove on your own. I don't like a temporary dental filling. Like, you probably need special equipment to remove it. I wouldn't know how to remove it if I'm not a professional, right? So it could be that if you need a professional to remove it, that's not called makbid. Maybe it could be not, it's not called makbid, but it's called part of your body, because we generally know whatever needs a professional to remove is considered part of something. That's another tzad l'hakel at the very least. Another tzad l'hakel he quotes here is that I'll just like throw in some of the other tzad l'hakel. And you can look all up. Really, it's amazing how much there is, like in the Achronim, who take the Shulchan Aruch and then like deal with like modern medicine issues and quote so many tzad l'hakel. I'll just quote some of the other tzad l'hakel. Something which is removed only to clean and then put back. Like maybe there are some things which you have to keep forever. You just have to remove them and clean them once in a while. So maybe that's not called makbid because you're not taking them off. Or something removed only in order to replace it with something similar. Maybe that's not called makbid, right? Let's say a temporary filling. Yeah, you remove it, but only to replace it with a permanent filling, which is the same basic idea, just a little better. Maybe that's not called makbid. You want it there. You're just going to replace it with a better thing, but you don't want it there. This is a chiddush. You see, all of these, you can say, no, you don't want it there. You want to get rid of the temporary filling to get a permanent one. Or a big question is something that is removed, some other tzadim l'hakel, and here you want to know who says these tzadim l'hakel, really, just look in his sefer. I'm just summarizing you his sefer, basically, from like page 277 to 283. Something removed only after it changes. Maybe if you don't want to remove it now, you only want to remove it. It changes. That's not called makbid. The way it is now, you're not makbid. It's just that if it changes. Or this is a big interesting kula. He quotes that maybe this is really a different sub. It's really not about makbid, I have to admit, but we'll throw it in. Maybe something that replaces part of the body. Right? Like if something is, like, instead of a, you know, a fake tooth or something, maybe even if it's temporary, you have to, like, take it out and put in a better one later. Now, since it's not addition to your body, it's just replacement for your body, maybe that doesn't count. And, of course, the biggest issue is, as we have here, something, all these are questionable, something which remains for a long time. Something which remains for a long time, maybe that's not considered makbid if it remains for a long time. How long? There are many opinions. Oh, another big Tzadva Hakel, which I don't know why it's not here, but is, where Moshe is very big on this chiluk, is he has made where we're making on a base hastarim. Right? Is, let's say, Jay, many poskim are more mekel in base hastarim. Why? Because we'll get to it. But it could be that a chatzitz in beis hastarim is only rabbanan, and therefore, when it comes to like dental, a lot of poskim are much more makeable by dental chatzitzos than by medical chatzitzos, because it's inside your mouth. It's a beis hastarim, and therefore, more makeable. So a lot of poskim will be machmer by stitches on your body, make it by stitches in your mouth, because since it's another tzad l'hakol, because it's beis hastarim. Okay, it's not really about being machmer. It's so just another tzad l'hakol. Part of your body that's sometimes closed, that's sometimes invisible, like the inside of your mouth. Right?
And we want the water has to be able to get it.
Yes. You can't have a chatzitz in beis hastarim. That's very clear. So the first Gemara says, maybe it's no problem with chatzitz in beis hastarim. No! In Rabbi's house, there was a shifcha who found a little bone between her teeth, and she had to hovel again, even though it was in beis hastarim. But, could we do more stuff in the hakel? Halakha l'maisa, it is a tremendous range of opinions in the poskim as to when to be mekel on medical chatzitzas, when not to be making on medical chatzitzas. No one's making l'chachila. L'chachila, you should have any chatzitza. Why get into anything? But some of these are not l'chachila, right? Some of these, like, you have to leave in. You can't remove. Halach l'maisa. Halach l'maisa, like, for example, self-dissolving stitches, many, many poskim. Most poskim are makel. Because like they have to be there and they're going to dissolve on their own, for example. In your teeth, and hopefully there shouldn't be lamaisa for all you, but lots of people end up getting root canals and dental work, etc. They often have to put in like temporary fillings and temporary crowns and then replace them later. Those are very temporary things. Permanent fillings, so everyone, again, when I say everyone, I don't mean there's not like two strange people somewhere. But everyone's permanent fillings are permanent. That's not a shaila. But a lot of dental work involves temporary fillings. Okay, the minig is to be makel because the base has started also, and because it replaces part of your body, and because you're not really going to have to remove it, you're just going to replace it with something better. Lamaisa, a lot of poskim are makel in temporary fillings because of these tzadot in l'hakel. Braces, most poskim are makel. Rav Moshe is not so into it, but because they're left for a long time, stitches are a big problem. Stitches are a big shaila.
Anywhere, especially the back of the mouth.
No, stitches in the mouth, somewhere, no, most poskim are makel. Why? Because they're going to be there for a certain number of days, and they're necessary, and it's a base hastarim, so you've done them l'hakel. What about stitches in your body? Many poskim are machmer stitches in your body. Badei Shulchan is makel if they're going to be there for 30 days. Says, you could use the svara of 30 days. Some poskim are makel even for 7 days. Lemaisa, mine is sort of Mary Willig, is that if you're stuck, meaning if a woman has stitches and they're coming out in 2 or 3 days, then beseder be machmer, if you can. But if you're stuck, it has to be a long time, and it's very bad to not be able to go to the mikveh nowadays, then Lemaisa Bitzeruf, the Ksav Sofer, and Rav Moshe, that maybe even if it just has to be a certain number of days, the doctor said minimum, maybe that's enough to be Mako, then Lemaisa, there's room to be Mako when you're stuck. For anything that has to be there for a certain amount of time, if you're really stuck and it's going to be very hard, Lemaisa, or no, it's going to be Mako.
Loyalty together would be like 7 days, more than 7 days.
No, you would say if like it's very hard, then one could be makel.
you know, this isn't ideal, but if someone already told us in the situation, and it was like a tear for the back, would contacts
have we'll get to contacts. Okay. We'll get to contacts. See, I'm saving it for later.
Are we going to get to prosthetics?
I have to admit, I'm not so holding in prosthetics. You want to give us an example? Prosthetics usually, prosthetic limb, like if it's a prosthetic, which
like, do people like take off their prosthetic legs?
So if it's something you can easily remove, I'm just not so holding. I'm sorry to say, if it's something you can easily remove, then the chachila will remove everything. You know, if it's something that you can't easily remove, then it's something that lasts stays for a long time, etc. Then we'd be making.
But taking into account easily removable, but it'll make tevila very challenging.
Yeah, we can do this. What if they can't like, get back up? Because they're like.
That's what for tennis, therefore.
No, I mean,
a woman that can't walk.
Cast. Well, says I'm
cast what?
If she has a cast, she can cast.
Yeah, okay, but let's what if she's able, etc. Yeah, but lachora, there's ways around it. You can like loosen it a little while you're in the water, etc. Like, there's probably ways around. I'm not, you know, holding it up. There's probably ways around it. Maybe I'll do some more research. Lemaisa, as I pointed out earlier, I think I pointed this out here. The one thing which you can't be makel on is a cast. Because cast can't get wet. So it's not only a halachic problem. It's you want to be makel on the cast, fine, but it won't help because you can't get it wet. And you can't be makel to put a plastic bag on the cast. Because that is not medical, and that is something you're makbid on 1 second later, etc. And that is something which doesn't stay at all. And you know, that's very, very far from any need of the body. You know, so lemaisa, if you have a cast, you're stuck. If you have a cast, you're stuck.
A cast that can get wet? How do we
a cast that can get wet is usually also roughly, so it's really not much of a shaila.
How do we, like, judge the rough way, like, their examples of stuff? How do we implement it?
I mean, roughly
is
means...
Practically, is that...
Roughly means the water gets in. We can tell when the water gets in. Yeah.
When we said that the Shulchan Aruch was
you still wash your hands
like, 30 days. Is that... That it's originally after 30 days, or 30 days from the day of tefillah?
It's a good question. I think in a different sefer quoted a machlokes in Shlomo Zalman and Rav El Yashin in a parallel case, how to count that. Lemaisa it's machlokes, and I'm not sure what he meant. I admit I'm not sure which way he meant. So I'm not sure. Yeah.
Mr. Papier, sort of Willard would say lechatchila it's not so hard in all of these cases, specifically, or anyone to differentiate between.
If there's not a lot, if there's not other tzedakah lahakel, then once you try to be machmir, let's say if it's not a beis hastarim, if it's not going to be, you know, I would say if you have other tzedakah lahakel, if it's a beis hastarim, if it's something which like dental work, lemaisa, we could be more comfortably makel because there's usually many tzedakah lahakel. Dissolving stitches, for sure you can be makel.
You would that, okay.
Yeah, but if you're talking regular stitches, are really the trickiest part, there's not a lot of stud in lahakel, then it would be better to be machmir, but if it's hard, then lemaisa one should be makel because to avoid too much, to avoid too much yisurim. Okay, but these are all, I recognize that, like, each of these needs an hour shiur on its own. So maybe we'll leave it for now, and then, you know, guys are going to talk to me about things that maybe you want me to be marked about. Yudav. Let's go. Chetz. Okay, arrows. Usually we don't have arrows stuck in our skin nowadays. But, oh, coats, splinters. As we still have splinters nowadays. Chetz, oh, coats. Hatocha b'basar, in nirim b'chotz chotzeitz, v'meino nira eino chotzeitz. It depends if it's visible from the outside or not. Now, what does it mean, visible from the outside and not visible from the outside? So, we're not going to go into all the sugyas now. But... the Beis Yosef quotes a suffix. You know what? Could you get the board, please? The base. He also quotes a suffix. He says, if it's sticking out, that's obviously visible from the outside. Right? If it's exactly even, even though it's hard to have things that are exactly even, that's also visible from the outside. Right? So if here is your skin, and here is the splinter, and it is sticking out, that's clearly near mechutz. Even if here is your skin, and here is the splinter, and it's exactly even, these are both nere mechutz. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is, what if here is your skin, and the splinter is below the level of the skin? But you can still see it from the outside. Meaning, not see it from the side of the outside. See it from the top of the outside, right? Is this called Nira Mibachutz?
What's the second one?
Two deos in the Beis Yosef. Okay, either it's sticking out or it's exactly even with skin level. If it's exactly even with skin level or sticking out from the skin, that's Nira Mibachutz. That's called Chotzeitz. Right, but what if it is shakua? It's beneath the surface, but it's still visible from the outside. Question: what does visible from the outside mean? Does visible from the outside mean like I could see it from over here? From over here, I could see this, and I could even see something that's even, right? If something's even with your skin, you can see. Or does visible from the outside mean from here? Here, it's visible from the outside. Here, it's not visible from the outside, right? If I'm looking down here, I don't see anything. But I'm looking up here, I do see something. So is that called Nira Mechutz or not? Beis Yosef is Tudeus. The Shach, there's a bit of a Girsa problem. He says, we go Lechumra, and then he paskins Lekula. Lemaisa, the Shach, paskins Lekula. The Shach says, that's called not Nira Mechutz, and therefore it's not Chotzeitz. That's not considered to interfere between the water and the skin, because as long as it's below the surface, that's not blocking the water from hitting the skin. There's a big machlokes between the Beis Yosef and everyone else in the world, basically. What if the skin grew over this splinter? Right? What if the skin grew over the splinter? Is that a problem or not? Beis Yosef wants to say, without getting to the sugyas, so you don't have time, nope, if it's sticking out or even, then even if skin grew over it, it's a problem. Like, what if you have this case? If you have this case and the skin grew over it, that's clearly not Nira Mechutz. But what if it's even or sticking out and the skin grew over it? Like a lot of our things, like you see it. What if you see it, but it's under the skin, right? So what if you nirah, but covered by skin? The skin grew over it. Here, the Beis Yosef says it's Chotzeitz. And everyone else, Darkei Moshe, the Shach, did the Taz also say something here? The Taz, everyone else says that's Eino Chotzeitz. Now, once it's under your skin, it's not blocking the water from... It's not blocking the water from your body. It's inside your body. And therefore, it's not Chotzeitz. So, the whatever's under the skin, that's inside your body. That's not chotzeitz. This actually happens often. The skin grows over a splinter. It would be better, health-wise, to remove it before the skin grew over it. So that is not chotzeitz. We paskin, like the Shach and the Taz and all the other chon in the world, against the Beis Yosef. The Mechaber, by the way, seems to follow what he says in the Beis Yosef, because he doesn't say anything about skin growing over it. Why not? Because he thinks that doesn't help, right? And that's why... That's the stimas ha-mechaber. The mechaber writes down. It's a problem. Why is it a problem if you can see it, whether it's covered by skin or not? But we don't pass that way. We pass like the shach. Yud beis. Lechluchei tsoa shal basar machmazeh. Again, remember, tsoa in this simen does not mean feces. That would be grosser. I know. Maybe things were a little more less hygienic than they were now, but not that unhygienic. It just means dirt. Lechluchei tsoa shal basar machmazeh in a chotzim. Sweat basically means like dried up sweat that are like little pieces of dirt on your skin are not chotzeitz. Nigla kiglid chotzeitz. It becomes like a layer covering your skin, then it's chotzeitz. What's the difference? Again, in all the Seifim, the Achronim argue, is it because if it becomes a layer of the water, it's not permeable, but little pieces are permeable? Or is it because little pieces no one's mapped on, and a layer people are mapping on? We're not sure, but that is the Masorah. Yud Gimel, Milmulim Shalabasar Chotzim. However, Milmulim are Chotzim. What are Milmulim? Are literally are like little like strings that you rub. The Mamel is to rub. That means not that a form from your sweat. As the Shach and the Taz points out, it's when you knead dough and you like rub little pieces of dough, or it could be concrete or something, or plaster. Little pieces might get rubbed and fall and stick to your skin. Those are chotzitz. Right? Because those are not permeable and we're makbid. Okay, I mean, these are things, again, that nowadays are not big shilas because people take them off their skin when they prepare for mikvah. Yodalad. Tit ha-yavain. Pretty sure it's yavain, not yavan. It's not Greek tit. The tit ha-yotzer, the tit drachem, and imsajam. So these are types of mud, really. Right? And the yotzer means potters, right? That they make pottery out of. And tit ha-drachem, imsajam, tamifnu, zachama is a certain type of mud that's found on the road, even in the dry season. These are very, very sticky ones. Kol elu chotzitzin. V'shar kol atit k'shulachin u'chotzei sharinim chod mayim sh'yavesh chotzeitz. Okay. These three kinds of very, very tough muds are always chotzeitz. Regular mud, if it's moist, it's not chotzeitz. Why? He says very explicitly. Because it gets melted in the water and is permeable. But if it's dry, it is not chotzeitz. Ad derama echumra. Right? Mihu, from the Rokeach and the Mordechai, says the Ramah. Mihu, again, okay, we're not going to go through all the sugyos of the Rishon, we'll just start with Shulchan Aruch. Imi makpedes vil dorlach chotzeit. Well, okay, here's an interesting chumrah, the Ramah. If she's makbid, even if it's the other kinds of mud, and it's lach, it's still chotzeit. Now, here's an interesting question, why? We just learned that other kinds of tit that are lach are permeable. So, so why is it, says the Rama, right? Titlach, she'eno mi gimel titin, which are chomer, im makpedes alav chotitz. Why is that? After all, if it's permeable, what should be the problem? So, this is a big machlokas. The Teferis Lemoshe, quoted in the Bali Shulchan, says this goes back to Sev Dalad, Rebosav Shal Rashi, the big chumer that we didn't like at the time. Why? This is a big nafkamina. One is the Lemoshe. He says, the heter of Titlach is Mishom. Aili b'maya, right? The water goes through it. The aili b'maya, permeable. Unless the aval rama hechmir kirabosa shel Rashi. And again, this is one shy rabosa shel Rashi, right? Like maybe Rabosu Sarashi. Lefi Peirush Echad. The Afilu Dover Rafoi. Chotzeitz. Im Makhlov. Okay, now we have a big Chumra, right? The question is this Pshat in the Ramah? He's reading the Ramah as a continuation of the Machaber. Said the Machaber, Titlach is not Chotzeitz because it melts and the water goes through. Says the Ramah, even if the water goes through, if you're makbid, it's chotzeitz. Like that, more makbid pshat, more bolsur shel Rashi. However, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it's not true. He says, he's quoting the Rokeach and the Mordechai. If you look inside, you don't even have to open a different book. In the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Rokeach and the Mordechai. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Al-Pi, the Mordechai himself, right? We have the Mordechai. It's in this book, in front of us. And what did the Mordechai say? Kasva Mordechai. Right? Alachin shall yovech derech min yodin lahakpid. Alachin ein makpid and avali makpid. Afilu lachotzim tovel betit solol, etc., etc. He says very poshut, based on the Mordechai himself, which is the source thereof. No, the heter of titlach is not because it's permeable. Ela rak mishum de ein rov b'nei adam makpidim alav. The heter of titlach is not because it's permeable. It's not permeable. The heter is just because they know makpid. Then it's no big chiddush. If the heter is because they know makpid, and you're makpid, we already know if you're makpid on something. Meaning pashut the way we pass them, where makpid based on you and based on rov b'nei adam. And therefore, no chiddush of the chumer version of Rabosa of Shorashi. Right, so that's the question. What did the Rambam mean? Did he mean, I agree with you, the heter is because it's permeable, but even permeable things are chotzeitz if you're makbid, big chumra? Or did he mean, no, you think titlach is permeable? No, titlach's not permeable. The only reason the Gemara was mater is because you're not makbid. If you are makbid, then you're makbid. Okay, we assume like the Aruch HaShulchan, in which case, then if something is permeable, even if you're makbid, it's not chotzeitz b'diavad. Yeah, b'chachilah, better not to have anything. What the Ramah here meant is that the Mechaber, you think the reason the Heter Titlach is Nimcha B'mayim? No, the reason the Heter Titlach is because Rov Bnei Adam Ein Makpidim. But if you're Makpid, you're Makpid. Isaac.
If the mud is permeable enough that it would that water would get through, then wouldn't it be moist enough that it would just be wiped off when you went to the Mikvah?
could be. In which case you're saying, how does the first Moshe work? Meaning, either if you say the rough way, that only fits on you. Right. I guess he would say it's somewhere in between. You know, but we're not going to pass that way anyway, so we can still sleep at night. Tesvav. Hadyo hacholav vadvash, right? Ink, milk, and honey. Vadam. And blood. Sraf hateina, fig sap. Sraf hatut, mulberry sap. Right, tut is not strawberries. Tut is a tree in all the poskim. That's why, what's the proper word for strawberries in Hebrew? Tut sadeh, a tut that grows in the ground, as opposed to a regular tut, which grows on a tree, as opposed to a tut eitz. A stam tut is a tut eitz. Why don't they sell tut eitz anymore?
What is that? I think
it's a mulberry.
That's a mulberry.
It's something that we don't eat nowadays, but we know they used to eat it because there's a nursery rhyme. Right? Here we go around the mulberry bush. Right? So, anyway, so obviously, strawberries don't really have a sap. Usrafa shikma. How do you say shikma in English? I use sycamore. Right? Which is sycamore and shikma are both probably just from whatever Greek word or something. Or maybe they're from the Hebrew word. I don't know. Yeveshim chotzim lachin and chotzim. Anyway, if these things they're dry, they're chotzeitz. If they're lach, they are not chotzeitz. Ushar kol asrafim. The Gemara doesn't say what about all other srafim. So it's a big machlokes. The some people want to say that it is they're never chotzeitz, but it's mefurshim tosefta afilu lachim chotzim. Even if it's lach, they are still chotzeitz. Okay. Again, what is we still just like. In all the other sifrim, we're not sure if this sif is telling you what's permeable, what's not permeable, or what people are makbid on, what they're not makbid on. Tesdain. Dam she nisrach basar fil lachotzeis. If dam is stuck, nisrach means stuck. If dam is stuck to your skin, even if it's moist, if it's stuck to your skin, even if it's liquid, it is chotzeis. Okay, that's the psak of the Rambam. What does it mean, stuck to your skin? So the Shach says, it means it like starts to drying. It's not mamish dry, but it starts to coagulate. I guess because dam coagulates more than other things. So even if it's a liquid, it's coagulating. And he says, what's the gedder of stick? That if you put your finger on it and pick your finger up from your skin, there'd be a string, right? It wouldn't just come off cleanly. That shows it's already coagulating. And that is a problem. Okay. He also brings up a hag talking about cooked dam. Doesn't come up a lot. Yud Zayin, tzeva shetzovos hanoshim. This real alach l'maisa al pneim v'yideyim. dye that women put on their hands and their... I don't think nowadays they put on their hands. On their face. Face, yes. Right? What?
They do henna. Saudi women do henna.
Yeah, they do henna on their hands. Probably means henna. Us'arushan, hair dye, which is also henna. Right? Eino chotzeitz. Okay, stop. Because the rest of it is going to be really new halacha. Basically, this dye is not chotzeitz. Why is this dye not chotzeitz? Good question. Right? Why is this dye not chotzeitz? By the way, you should not learn from this dye in modern day makeup. Why? Because at least standard modern day makeup, of course, is chotzeitz. Why? It's miut ve'ino makbid. You don't want to remove your makeup. You pay a lot of money for makeup, and it's only on a minority of your body. But what technical problem comes up? It's miut ve'ino makbid when you don't tovel. As soon as part of your face hits the water, remember, it's not a chalos tefila until 100% of your body's in the water. So as soon as 99% of your body's in the water, then what happens to the makeup? It gets ruined. And once the makeup gets ruined, it's miut ha-makbid, your makbid to get rid of it, which is why, one of the many reasons, first of all, l'chachilo, we tovel that makeup, because l'chachilo, we shouldn't have any chatzitzes also. Makeup is a problem, because it's miut ha-makbid, because the second you tovel with it, it gets ruined, and it's disgusting looking, and then you have to remove it. I mean, maybe you'll decide not to remove it to be weird, but it doesn't matter. Like, a normal person would want to remove it. And therefore, makeup is definitely a problem of miut ha-makbid. That has nothing to do with what the Shulchan Aruch is discussing. Shulchan Aruch is discussing dye. Dye doesn't get ruined by water, right? It's like, sticks there.
Waterproof makeup?
What about waterproof makeup? So waterproof makeup, good point. Waterproof makeup would be a miut ve'ino makbid, right? Because it's only on a miut of your body, and you don't want to remove it. You like it very much, right? So waterproof makeup, taka, would not be chotzeitz. Now, the question becomes, does that mean it's okay l'chachila to tovel with waterproof makeup? No, it's never okay l'chachila to tovel with any chatzitza, but it wouldn't be makbid. Now let's come back to it in a moment, okay? Because first let's read the shach. This psach comes from the Rashba and the Rush. And what is the reason? What is the reason why hair dye, right? Hair dye is a common thing. Nowadays, lots of women have hair dye, right? They don't take off their hair dye to go to the mikvah. I don't think you take off hair dye. You don't take off your hair dye. You only put it on, right? Because hair keeps growing. And then the roots of your hair are the wrong color. So you have to add hair dye, but you never subtract it. So why is hair dye, right? Lots of women dye their hair, and they all go to the mikvah. We don't consider it bedievit or not from or not shtar, whatever, for women to go to the mikvah with hair dye. Or, I don't know, I mean, in our circles, they don't really have henna on their hands. But why is that okay? And this is okay even l'chachila, we assume. Hair dye is fine. Chaf Aleph says the shach, af bi shecho for rov haseir o kulo. And even though it's on rover your hair, whoa, forget it, miyashen o makvid. Hair dye is on rover or all of your hair, right? That's the whole point of hair dye. Like, it's only like weird, rebellious teenagers dye miyut of their hair. The normal hair dye is all of your hair, right? So he says, Tupshatim 1, Hareyu kigufo shel seir she'eno chotzeitz v'aseir hu kigufo shel adam. V'od, second shot, amar minatzeve ein bo mamesh, v'eno doma l'dyo, etc., etc. The second shot is very clear, ein bo mamesh. What's the difference between dye and makeup? Makeup has mamesh, literally substance, right? You can feel it, right? Dye soaks into your hair or skin and you can't feel it. It doesn't have substance. If it doesn't have substance, how can it be a chatzitza? So, what are the heterim of hair dye? I know it's also henna, but let's just stick with hair dye. What are the two heterim of hair dye? Hair dye, we say, is mutter l'chatchila. Why is it mutter l'chatchila? One, or rather two, ein bo mamish. It doesn't have any mamish. What's the first reason? It's like the guf haseir. Here, it's not... So clear exactly what he means. In what ways it like the Gufa Seir? Don't say because it blends in, because that's the same thing. Right? So if you look inside the Rosh, but the Svara seems to be that it's like Guf HaSeir because you want it there for Noy. You want it there for Noy. It's a decoration is part of something. That's not a chatzitza. A chatzitza is something else. Right? Kolin also ate a chotzitz, right? How long ago did we learn that in YU? When did we learn sukkah? Before your time. Okay. Who knows? 3 years ago, shouldn't be before your time. Okay. So remember in Maseches Sukkah, it says kolin oso eino chotzeitz. Noy is not a chatzitza. That's part of you, especially if you. It's not just that you're not makbid. This is better than not makbid means you don't mind. It's not just that you don't mind. It's that it's decorative. Decorative is part of your body.
All jewelry is for noy.
What?
All jewelry is for noy.
All jewelry is for noy. Good point. Correct. All jewelry. No, give me a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. All jewelry is for noy. So I assume here also it's because it's like stuck on it. So he thinks it's like, because you're right, because kolon oso eino chotzeitz is even, we use for jewelry, etc. Because you want it there for noy and it's stuck on. Right? So here the big question becomes, what if you have one of these stud in lahakel without the other? Right? So, what if in Bomamish, but it's not decorative or desired? Like, for example, what if you just get an iodine stain on your hand, right? Use an ink stain on your hand or something, iodine stain, and you scrub and scrub and scrub and it doesn't come off. What do you do? Is that, so we say, what about that case? So in that case we say that lechatchila, try to remove it. If you can't remove it, then eino chotzeitz mishum she'ein bo mamish. Meaning, just ein bo mamish, it's a big machlokas, whether you're lying there. Halach l'maisa, we paskin that lechatchila, even if it's ein bo mamish, you should try to remove it. But if you can't, then you're allowed to tovel with it. I'm not talking about a tattoo. You're not allowed to get a tattoo, right? Let's say someone, okay, they were not Jewish, they were allowed to get a tattoo, then they converted, right? Had to gummer to have a tattoo. Then, of course, they can tovel with a tattoo. That's ein bo mamish, and it's something they want in their body for noy. It's an interesting question, what if they really want to get rid of it now? Then, nonetheless, since it's ein bo mamish, so we're mekel, not l'chachila, but when you're stuck, we're mekel ein bo mamish. This happens sometimes. I know what iodine is like, but doctors still use it sometimes, I think. And if it gets in your skin, it's impossible to get out. You just have to wait for all the cells to regrow. Because it's like a dye that doesn't come out. So you could try, you know, but if it doesn't come out, then you could tovel anyway because ein bo mamish. So ein bo mamish, if you're stuck, b'di'evet, I don't mean b'di'evet if you already tovel. If you're stuck, what if yesh bo mamish? What if yesh bo mamish, but it's desired and decorative, such as not regular makeup. Regular makeup is ichsa, such as permanent makeup. What's an example of permanent makeup? Nail polish, right? That does get ruined in water, or the permanent makeup that's waterproof. Let's call it waterproof makeup. I don't mean permanent makeup. Permanent makeup is some sort of tattoo that's ein bo mamish, right? Actual permanent makeup is a kind of tattoo. Ora, that's not a problem for mikvah. It might be an isser to get because of the tattoo. Okay, that's a big machlokes al poskim. Is it an isser of ksovas kaka to get permanent makeup or not? Because permanent makeup is a kind of tattoo. The big machlokes, it's not exactly like a tattoo. It's sort of in between how permanent the tattoo is and normal things. But it's ein bo mamish permanent makeup, and it's certainly like part of your guf. So that's not a problem with mikvah. Although it's machlokes al poskim that you're allowed to do it. Some poskim are makeup. Not at all. How about such as
someone's the last of the Mormenko, she's doing it because she has like a scar on her face and she wants to.
Correct. Some of the Poskim are Mormenko if it's often they do permanent makeup, not for makeup, like just to save time and put your, I don't know what the different kinds of makeup are called. But they do it if a woman has some scar or disfiguration, and they don't make makeup like eyeliner, etc. They do permanent makeup to like just make it look like the right color. So some poskim wear makeup in that case for various reasons, both kashas and chakam, maybe because the issue isn't meant to apply in that case. Okay, but that's not a mikvah problem. That's like a hair dye, waterproof makeup, or nail polish.
Is like the gel nail? Is that?
Or even regular nail polish. Or even regular nail polish, right? Waterproof makeup. I don't mean permanent, I mean waterproof makeup, right? That's what you meant before, right? They sell waterproof makeup. Why do they sell waterproof makeup? For many people, it's Shabbos makeup. We're not doing Hilchos Shabbos now, but you know there's two things that are called Shabbos makeup that are the opposite. Two diametrically opposite things called Shabbos makeup. One type of Shabbos makeup is makeup that's so temporary that it's not considered usher to put it on Shabbos because it doesn't really stick. Because it's so temporary. That's like the Star K, Shane D Cosmetics, whatever, Shabbos makeup. The other kind of Shabbos makeup, that's very controversial. Some poskim, many poskim are makel in that kind of Shabbos makeup in those communities where really not being able to reapply makeup on Shabbos is like a fate worse than death, and therefore you need to be mako. Okay, l'chachila, one should not live in such communities. But the other kind of Shabbos makeup is mutter kordol poskim, is what making it more waterproof makeup. Like, makeup that's just so strong, you put it on before you light candles, and it lasts 24 hours, even when you eat and even when you sleep. That's really, really tough makeup. So that kind of tough makeup can also resist a mikvah. So, or nail polish. Or gel nails. I'm not sure how to say these things. I'm sorry. I'm such an artist. I need to take like a seminar on all the things that exist nowadays. But usually I just like, I ask my wife, like, what does this mean? And she tells me what it means. Then I know how to apply the halacha. But what about these things? Yes, they're very decorative things you want on your body. That you want them to be part of your body for decoration. But they're mamish. You can feel them, right? Makeup, you can feel. In nail polish, for sure, you can feel. In gel nails, avad avad, you can feel. Or, for that matter, built nails, things like this, etc. I'm not sure what the difference is between all these things. Anyway, whatever all these things, lemaisa, we assume that this is not mutter l'chatchila. Halach lemaisa, we say aser l'chatchila. However, it's a miyat ve'inu makbid, and it's a little better than a regular miyat ve'inu makbid. A regular miyat ve'inu makbid, we'll see later on, means I have a speck of mud on, like, my belly button where no one's going to look, and I don't really mind. Okay, this is better than miyat ve'inu makbid. You really want it as part of your guf, and it's one of the svaras mentioned by the Rashba. So, also the chachila, but it's a little more makel than a regular miut she'eno makbid, because it's only a part of your body, it's not on your whole hair, and it is, you're not makbid, you like it, right? And it's even something you want to be part of your guf, to stick to your guf for decoration, and maybe it's a little better than a regular miut she'eno makbid. What? Even though it's going to come off eventually, even though when it wears off, it's going to come off. Since as it is now, you want it to stay on, so we can call that a miyat ve'inu makbid. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, b'di'evet, it's certainly okay. B'di'evet, it's certainly okay. And if it was shas hachak, b'di'evet, dummy, that you have no choice, then it would be okay. So therefore, what do we say? One second. B'di'evet. She's tahora, and if you have no choice, then you can tovel. What's an example? An example is, right, let's say a woman She takes off her nail polish for mikveh and it won't come off. She can't get her nail polish off. It's too stuck. Then what does she do? Her teeth. That's a mir b'makdid, right? She took off her nail polish and there's a little piece that won't come off. Now it looks ugly. What does she do? She puts it all back on and tovels. Because she has no choice, so she relies on the b'di'evet. And b'di'evet, it's a mir b'makdid, even a little better than a mir b'makdid. It is okay, give me a second. What about gel nails? A woman has gel, and that can only be taken off and put on professionally. Right? So, she doesn't have a professional who can take it off to go to mikvah. So then, b'di'evet, she can tovel. What if, okay, there is, I know of one mikvah, I'm not going to mention where the rabbi of that community knows that all the women would listen to him about Hilchas Nida. And if he tells them to tovel without nail polish, they'll tovel without nail polish. But on Friday night, they'll go home and put on nail polish. So, that's the minhagim of the Amcha in that community. They're very makbid on Nida, they're not so makbid on Shabbos. So the rabbi that mikvah decided that on Friday night they could tovel with nail polish, because better rely on the b'di'evet and the slight tzad l'hakel here than to cause chilul Shabbos. Because they'd listen to tovel that nail polish. They would just go home. They don't listen to Rabbi Shabbos. They don't listen to Rabbi Nida. So in that case, so there are and then look, there are rabbis who say that. I'm not one of them. The rabbis say if you live in a community where on Friday night it's not having makeup and nail polish is worse than being dead, then maybe that's already like a b'di'evet, and we can be makeup for you to total Friday night with your nail polish and your makeup, etc. Personally, I'm not so convinced that you can't have higher expectations of people. And also, like just mitzad, like Selma Okim, you probably shouldn't live in such communities. So we see how this is definitely not normative halacha. In cases where you have no choice, such as if, let's say, you can't get off some nail polish, so your only choice is to put it all back in tovel, then you can tovel with nail polish because maybe it's a mi'af chein o'makbid and maybe even a little better than mi'af chein o'makbid, etc. Just one other thing with hair dye. What if gel nails, for example? Gel nails have more tzad and lahakel. A, if it takes a professional to take it off, maybe it's not a chatzitza. B, you often leave it on for 30 days, so maybe it's not a chatzitza. So there are those people who are more makel when it comes to gel, that to assume, well, you have many tzad and lahakel, so it's even lachatchila. Okay, it's really, those people are very stark. No, they get their monthly appointment around mikveh, take it off and go to the mikveh, and then have it put back. Some people are more makeup by gel nails. You know, really, I wouldn't say it's totally l'chachila, but I would say for those people, there's definitely what to be so mechan, because it's mi'afeinu makbid, and it's something that you want for decoration as part of your body, and it often lasts 30 days, or at least around 30 days, and it takes a professional to remove, so there's many tzad l'hakel. So again, you know, it's not, I'm not saying it's l'chachila, I'm saying those who are makeup have what to rely on.
Is it better to not get gel nail polish at all in order to avoid the whole situation?
It's better to not, or to take it off before mikvah and put it back after mikvah.
You can take it off, right?
I have no idea. I don't think so. I think only professional can take it off. Anyone? Anyone know whether you can take off gel on your own?
I think so. I think you need a professional to take it off.
That's what I've heard. Now, I've heard that from the professionals. Obviously, they want business. Now, it costs more money, right? Because usually you go to the professional, they take it off and put on a new one. Here, you have to go take it off. Go to TOEFL, and the next day, go to put a new one, they'll charge you more money. But some people don't mind paying more money, or some people don't mind just being comfortable with their nails.
It's better to put on an all-new nail polish, and you're being like so many now more on more things.
It's 100% better to have new nail polish than chip nail polish. Chip nail polish is a problem that you're a din, because it doesn't look nice. It's a mi'at v'makbid. Good nail polish is not a problem. Let's say you have no nail polish remover in the world, right? Let's say you have to total tonight and there's no nail polish remover in town. Then you should put on new nail polish. And that way it'll be Nidveh HaMakbid in something which is like your goal.
How is this better than a regular Nidveh HaMakbid? Like, would we not say the no choice part?
No, because the reason... no, we would also. It just means that, you know, we'd feel a little less bad. Okay.
Nikki's question, how is this different than a bid? Eventually she wants to take it off.
Then what?
Then a bid.
The difference is because she only wants to take this off once it chips. She doesn't want to take it off like it is now. And because it's for decoration. So in those two ways it's better than advantage. A, maybe that's part of the answer to Mickey's question. Because you want it for decoration, therefore it's better than advantage, even though you're going to take it off later. And you only want to take it off when it chips, not like it is now. So for those two ways it's better than advantage.
When we were learning this if about hair dye, so we Google that hair dye, it becomes part of the hair, which is like, it's almost a translation, it's like the gufa seir, you know?
Yes, but that's not what he means. I know, it's what it sounds like, that's not what he means. If you look inside, that's not what he means, and also that would be the same as a momamish. So I know it's tempting, but that's not pshat. Okay, one thing I will point out, what if a woman has hair dye, but already you can see a lot of gray in the roots? Like it's groomed, she needs a new hair dye job, right? So then it's like, not totally like as decorative as it should be. So halach l'maisa, it's ideal to have the hair dye look nice before you tovel. But if not, you can still tovel because l'maisa is ein bo mamish and we rely on that, and it usually looks pretty nice. So it's best to, like, if you need hair dye, to do it before you tovel, because that way you're making sure it really looks nice. But l'maisa, it's not ma'akiv, because it's ein bo mamish. Okay. So these are very, very nogei l'maisa in Yom. End of Yudzayin. V'chein mi shehu tzava v'yodav tzuas eino chutzeitz. Likewise, here's a chiddush. A painter who has paint on his hands, it's not chutzeitz. V'chein mi shehu nosu liyos shokhen katzav. Likewise, a slaughterer or a butcher, v'yodav tzuas eino chutzeitz. Dama always has blood on his hands, eino chutzeitz. Shirov ne umrusein makkid. Because most people in this umnus are not makkid. Now, this is a big chiddush. First of all, I'm not sure if this totally applies the same nowadays, because most people, like, after work, they try to clean themselves. Right? But what's the big chiddush? The big chiddush is, remember we said, when is it a miyachin or makbid? If you don't mind, and if most people don't mind. And you ask, what counts as most people? The chiddush here is, most people of your profession. So if you're a painter and most painters don't mind, that's not chotzeitz. If you're a butcher and most butchers don't mind, that's not chotzeitz. So therefore, that is... I don't know how much this comes up because we have better hygiene nowadays, but if a woman has some chatzitza that most women would mind, but most women of her profession wouldn't mind, and she doesn't mind, then that's not chotzitz.
This isn't talking about the actual mamashus of pain on the hands, it's like the stain that...
No, this is even mamashus. This part is even mamashus. Even mamashus. Even mamashus. If I have mamashus in my hand and everyone in my profession doesn't mind it, again, I just don't think it's so shayach nowadays, because nowadays, whatever your profession is, when you on weekends, you're supposed to look normal, right?
So that's still like after hours? Like a painter like stopped by mincha in the middle of the day, like you're not surprised that he's painting his hands. If it's like Shabbos and Shul, then you'd be a little bit surprised.
It's a good question. My assumption is that if they always clean themselves, like when they go home, which I think they do nowadays, then that would still be a problem. So I don't know how applicable this would be nowadays, but theoretically it's an important use. So, yes, Effie?
Would you say the other way, like Khamra, like if you're a surgeon or your hands would be cleaner than other people, you'd be more often than other people, and therefore you have a higher standard, or just cooler?
I'm not sure, but I don't think that's really such enough, Kamina. You wear gloves. You're saying, like, the surgeon, they're mocking me this full piece of dirt.
In their profession,
I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah, obviously he only means if it's really dirt. If it's just like germs, then for sure not. So I'm not sure how nogea that is, but I'm not sure. It's a good question. Okay, where are we up to? Yod Ches. Soa shetachas atziporin, shelo keneged abasar chotzeitz. Okay, so here the Mishnah says
That, there's two types of things that can be under your fingernails. Tsoa, which again does not mean feces. It means dirt, and butzig, dough. Dough is much worse than dirt. Why, interestingly, I would say it's more sticky, the more psychological reason. If you have dough under your fingernails, then it looks like you're unhygienic when you make the bread. And then your husband gets mad at you. You have dirt under your fingernails, not so bad. But, lemaisa, the Mishnah is mechalking tsoa and butzig. The Rambam passing that way. But all the other Rishonim passing based on the Tosefta, that even within tsoa, there's two madrigas. And that's how we pass it. Tsoa should ask the porn, shall low can I get a brush or cold seats? Sticking out, you know how, like, not our fingernails, but a lot of women's fingernails, not married Orthodox Jewish women's fingernails, for reasons we're about to see. But single girls' fingernails, right? They grow long nails, and they stick out past the busser. What does it mean, past the busser? Past the busser means, if I hold my hand this way, you can see them. You don't see anything, right? Because my fingernails don't stick out past the busser. But if I have long nails, you've all seen people with long nails, the nails stick out past the busser. It's very easy to tell it's past the busser. If you can see it from this angle, it's past the busser. If you can only see it from this angle, then it's not past the busser. It doesn't mean where it starts turning white. It means where it like sticks out past the skin. If it's shalokenegger basar chotzeis, that's disgusting. On the part that's sticking out and it's very easily visible, it has dirt.
Would this present problems like Cohen who had to keep his fingernails very long for a week?
He would just have to clean them.
So women can also do that like today, no?
No, you're asking me about the time of the Samikdash. And you're bringing a stira between the time of the Samikdash and a minute from the time of the Rishonim. The answer is the time of the Samikdash was before they had the minute of the time of the Rishonim. What were the Rishonim thinking their minhag would happen when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? They'll figure that out, right? So it's not, you know, it's only a minhag of the Rishonim. So what's the answer probably? Oh, they were only, no, the minhag was only for the women, not for the Kohanim. So Shadak says, Yvor Shalokan Abbasar Chotzeit. That's obviously very gross. Everyone should be mocked on that. Kenegar Abbasar Enu Chotzeit. No, if it's like Kenegar Abbasar, it's a little covered, then it's not so visible, then we're not Chotzeit. But Batzeit Shadak Yvor, I feel Kenegar Abbasar Chotzeit. That's Chotzeit all over. The Ezo Shlokenegan a Basar, Zesh et Sworn Odefal a Basar. What's called Shlokenegan a Basar? When the Tziporan goes further than the Basar. Ulafish, and Yechol Chavim, and Nikra Genegan a Basar Shlokeneg, though, because it's hard to tell what's negative Basar, what's Eno negative Basar, exactly how to paskin this. Nagu and Noshan Litol Tziboranem Beisat Vila. The minig is that women cut their nails before they go to Nikva. That's why Orthodox Jewish married women have short nails. Because the minig is to cut your nails just to avoid any shinglas of dirt under your nails. How short do you have to cut your nails is a little controversial. The Chachmas Adam says you have to cut off. You know how nails, like there's like skin color and then there's the white part? Mm-hmm. Right? Everyone look at your hands, right? You see like there's skin color and the white part. The white part is still connected to basar until it grows more. The Chachmas Adam says you cut off the white part. Or at least, you know, most of the white part.
Or just before mikvah?
Before mikvah. Right. Before mikvah, you should cut off the white part. I think most people, when they cut their nails short, they cut off the white part. I don't know. When you cut your nails, do you cut off the white part?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, more or less. The Chachuzah is not saying it's a chok you have to cut off the white part. He's just saying like, oh, you don't have to cut off more than the white part. Sounds like, verse 4 says, you have to cut off more or less the white part. You know, wherever's comfortable to cut. However, there are some people who say, no, he just meant you have to cut them down. Pick a negative basar, right? You have to cut them down so you can't see them from this side. It's a big nafkamina, right? There's a lot of, I don't know, maybe everyone's hand is different.
Yeah, it's a
long way to go, right?
Yeah.
So do you have to cut off the white part, like, you know, like men often do? Or do you just have to cut them so you can't see them from here? Right? Cut off what's still looking to get a buster. And a little extra to be on the safe side, obviously, because the whole point is that we can't tell. Right? So there's enough to just cut it a little beneath the buster, or do you have to cut off substantially all the white part? So the Chachasadim sounds like you have to cut off substantially all the white part. I think nowadays some people are more machmir, some people are more mekel. Rabbi Four says you should cut off substantially all the white part. I mean, again, he doesn't hope for a yavor, like it's trafe and you have to get rid of every white part. He means basically cut off the white part. You know, if it's like uncomfortable to cut that deep, then it means cut off most of the white part. But, Ray 4 says, but if a woman, he says the proper thing is to cut off most of the white part,
However, if you just trim it to below the basar, then you can also tovel. So therefore, lemaisa, I think many women are, maybe most women if you take everyone together, machmer like the chachmas adam, to cut off substantially the white part. However, certainly as long as you cut it below the basar, then you can tovel, and there are those who are more makel. I don't know, I didn't get a chance to do a poll of what they do in our communities. The Rabbi Solovsky book doesn't say. All right.
Dead skin is a chatita?
Dead skin?
Like in the front of the fingernails.
In front of the fingernails, sometimes you have that, like, sometimes you have dead skin, right? Is that, what? No? Yeah, I'm not sure. Where do you have dead skin?
When you're playing guitar, yeah, calluses, dead skin.
Feet?
So in general, like, if you have calluses and such, you're supposed to soak them. Like, if they're things that come off, then they come off. General with calluses, I think he actually has a piece about calluses here. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the thing is that Ein L'Dover Sof, I really recommend everyone should read the chapter from here, because Ein L'Dover Sof, in terms of the cases that you have, he has a piece here. For some reason I'm not remembering the structure here. So he has a piece about like hard skin, and he says like, yeah, if there's loose skin, you remove it, but if there's hard skin, you just soak it. You know, if you have like dead skin
doesn't involve that distinction we said about soft and hard, and soft is part of the skin and hard.
No, so that's you soak them, right? We said if you soak it, if you have a hard thing, the scab, you soak it. So if you have hard skin, you soak it. Yeah, that's the general mahalach. Okay, now you should cut your fingernails. Let us just at least
try to.
Well, and toenails, yes. Fingernails and toenails, same thing. The shach is very clear here that in Sivkot and Chaf Hei, that fingernails and toenails have the same halacha. Now, a few things that come up here before we get to the real action in Seif Chaf. Two things. First of all, the Torah says, but if you're not makbid, it's okay. What does the Torah mean by if you're not makbid, it's okay? Meaning, the Gemara says, the Tosefta says, you are makbid on batzik. And you are makbid on soa, she, eno, keneged, habasar. So what does it mean? What does the Torah mean if you're not makbid? It's okay. Sorry, I need the board. So the Beis Yosef says the Torah is wrong. And that's how the Mechaber doesn't bring it down. The Darkei Moshe suggests maybe he holds like a shita of Rabbeinu Tam. There's a shita of Rabbeinu Tam that soa is only a problem if it's hard, not if it's soft. Like, only if it's tit hayavein and tit hayotzrim and tit hadrachim and nimsa sham tamid afli motachama. Right? But if it's soft mud, then it's okay. Maybe that's what you mean by inomakbid. However, we pass like the Taz. So what are we talking about? We're talking about soa shetachas hatziporen shelo keneged abasar. Right? Which we avoid the whole problem, so we cut the tziporin. But theoretically, says the Torah, im eina makpedes, eino chotzitz. What's pshat? Says the Beis Yosef, the Torah is wrong. No, the whole point is that you are makpedes. Says the Darkei Moshe in his second Perush. No, he's like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Ditit lach eino chotzeitz betziporen mishum she'eina makpedes. Right? If Tom has a shita, then it's only the hard mud and dirt that's chotzitz on a fingernail, not the soft ones. Because the soft ones not chotzitz. The Torah is passing like rain of Tom. We don't pass like that. We pass him like the Darkei Moshe in his first parish and the Taz, who's saying, no, he means if it's very small. Hey, when is the Tsoa Tachas that Tzibor Shlokin and Rebazah Chotzeis if it's large enough to be significant? But what if it's so tiny no one's Chotzeis? It's after all, ain't the Dover Sof. A tiny speck that no one would ever notice unless you're looking like this. So that's what the Taz says, that's Pasha. Kochach mi yashen makpidim, mi yutashen makpid. That's how we paskin. We paskin, even though there's a rule that Soa Shetach that Tzipor Shlokin Eged Abbasar is Chotzeis, because we assume most women are makbid. Don't tell me women aren't makbid, it depends if you're makbid. Most women are makbid. So what's the cool of the Torah? The cool of the Torah is, that's a normal case, but if it's so tiny that no one would notice, then it's okay. That's a general rule. Anything so tiny that no one would notice is okay, because then you're not makbid. Okay, last thing we have to discuss in this se'if is the kasha of the shach and the taz, shach chaf beis and the taz yud tes and the pisnei tshuva tes, etc. How come we don't clean our fingernails before netilas yadayim? After all, this is chatzitza, right? If you ask why I don't clean my eyes before netilas yadayim, I understand, because I'm not washing my eyes in netilas yadayim. But your hands, why isn't a problem that people have dirty fingernails? As a matter of the Pesach Yitzhuva Kosu Magen Avraham, who says that it's a problem. He says it's a problem. If your fingernails are dirty, shalom kenegad abasar, then it's a problem for netilas yadayim. Why aren't we makbid to clean our fingernails for netilas yadayim? So here, there's a bunch of different deos, right? And don't say, oh, because like, it's not an iser karis. Like, who cares? It's a din, right? For chomras, we won't have chomras, it's not iser karis. But a din is a din, right? It's a tosefta. Can't just deny it. So here, there are different opinions. We won't go through everything. The Beis Yosef gives some very dachuk answers. L'chora, the shach and the taz are the most pashut shot. The shach and the taz both say, because of the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, soa is only a problem if it's the hard kind of mud. And we don't usually have the hard kind of mud under our fingernails. Right? So, how about Netilas Yadayim? Says the Magen Avraham, Sarech Lahakpid, Al Tsoa Shelo Kenegad HaBasar. Right? What if you have a single girl? What if you have a single girl, and she has long nails? Does she have to clean her nails every time she doesn't tell us the time? The room says yes. We assume no, says the Shach and the Taz.
Only if it's hard mud already.
What? Says, no, the money room says across the board. He says no. Benetilas Yadayim, which is only Darabanan. Benetilas Yadayim, which is Darabanan. It's not like you would need a Nida's Doraisa. Benetilas Yadayim, She'eno Ella. Rabbanan, Somchem al Rabbeinu Tam. We rely on Rabbeinu Tam that says only if you have Tid HaYavein and Tid HaYotzrim is it Chotzeitz. And our fingernails, we never have these Tid HaYavein, Tid HaYotzrim. We have regular dirt. Rabbeinu Tam says regular dirt's not Chotzeitz and fingernails. We don't rely on him for Nida. For Netilas Yadayim, for Rabbanan, we rely on him, the Shach adds, because really the only way to be Makar would be to always cut your nails. You can't always cut your nails every time you want to have a meal. So therefore, he says, L'maisa, we're making, we rely on Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that seems to be the halacha L'maisa.
If someone would be makbid on something that's even connected to Basar, that would be problematic?
Could be, yeah.
Are we going to talk about men's tefillah, right, to go on our bias?
It's an interesting question. There's not a lot written about that because they only started doing that recently. It's a big question. To what extent do we keep all the chomers of Nida in toveling for Harabayis? On the one hand, unlike the Tilas Yadayim, it's an Issa D'Oraisa, right? If the man doesn't tovel properly and goes to Harabayis, it's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's not like the Tilas Yadayim. It's not like a Chassid in Takanas Ezra, which is only a Takanas Rabbanan at most. It's not like Tilas Yadayim, which is the Takanas Rabbanan. It's D'Oraisa. On the other hand, it's not like Nida, because Nida is an Issa Kares, and going on Harabayis without toveling is only an Issa Aseh.
It's still a derisive, it's only Nisra Aseh, which is less chamer than a lav, which is less chamer than a lav with kares. So it's two steps less chamer than nida. So it's an interesting question. Do we have all the chumras for tolling for harabayis or not? Is a great question. And I'm not sure what the minhag is. My impression is the minhag is they don't have all the chumras. My impression is that the people who told to go to harabayis don't keep all the chumras of hilchas nida. Why? They assume the chumras are only chumras for iser kares. And going to harabayis is not iser kares. But it's not pashut. So I think that's the minhag. It's hard to say if it's like a real official minhag, since only a minority of people go up to harabayis. So it's hard to say like what the minhag Yisrael is. Because until then, there are only two types of tovling, drabanan and karis. Drabanan were more mekel, karis were more machmir. All of a sudden, there's an in-between type of tovling. Isra asei midoraisa tovling. Okay? So isra asei doraisa tovling. Are we more machmir or are we more mekel? Like, for example, do you have to cut your fingernails? Or not? Right? That's a great example. So the answer is, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if the... But my impression is people are mekel. That they don't have all the chumras, because they assume it's not karis. Now, if you go in the place where the azara was, you're chayav karis. But that's whether you're tovled or not, so that has nothing to do with your tefillah, right? You can't be chayav karis for not tovling. If you walk in the place where the azara was, you're chayav karis, even if you tovled. And if you walk on the rest of Harabayis, you're not chayav karis, even if you didn't tovle. You're only violating nasei, which is bad. Last thing we're going to mention this if is the minhag is to cut your fingernails. What if a woman doesn't want to cut her fingernails? There are some women who are not so stark who refuse to cut their fingernails when they get married. They're like, no, long nails are very important to me. I'm not giving up my long nails. And you tell them, no, it's the halacha, the hilchas nida. And they say, doesn't matter, I'm not giving up my nails. But they say, that's not a halacha, that's a minhag, that's not important enough to me. Okay, so really, minhag Yisrael Torah, and you should keep what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. What if women want to tovel with long nails? So the Achi Ezer is a tshuva about this. In Chelek Gimel, the famous markers Chelek Gimel, Simon Lamed Gimel of the Achi Ezer. Chelek Gimel, Simon Lamed Gimel of the Achi Ezer has a tshuva about this. About women who want to tovel with long nails. And he says that, well, you should not fight with them when they come to the mikvah. I'm sure there's some mikvahs they weren't, but we follow the achazer. Because, whatever, it's just because they don't keep the minhag, you want to make them not keep hilchas nida at all. So the achazer says, nope, you have to have a sense of proportion. And if a woman comes with long nails to the mikvah, you should not fight with her and tell her she's not allowed to, and kick you, you know, and etc. Because you don't want to make her stop keeping hilchas nida entirely. Just because she doesn't keep the minhag doesn't mean that you should turn her off to halacha entirely. However, he said, you can't approve of violating minhag Yisrael. And therefore, the minhag of most mikvos, that if a woman has long nails, they don't fight with them. However, usually the mikvah lady says kasher after you tovel, after the woman tovels. And the minhag of most mikvahs, based on the Achiezer, says, but you can't say it's okay. It says, the mikvah lady doesn't say kosher after someone tovels with long nails, because they provide them the minhag, but she lets them do whatever they want, because she doesn't want to give them that experience and turn them off, but she can't say that it's okay. So that's the minhag, that if a woman's a total with long nails, or with nail polish, or, you know, any other case which is not, well, nail polish is even worse, or any other case which is not l'chachila p'i minhag Yisrael, everyone wants a tovel in a way that's against halacha legamre, that's the evidence against halacha, that's a problem. But everyone wants to violate the minhag l'chachila, like long nails against the minhag, or nail polish me if ain't a makbid against the minhag, etc. Then we do not fight with them, but we don't say that it's okay. That's the minhag based on the Achi Ezer. Last thing, there's a kul nepeskei tshuvik sifkat yud from the Hamudei Daniel, says toenails were more makel. He thinks there's room to be makel even if you have dirt in your toenails. People aren't so makbid. Someone asked me about toenails. Said the shach said the same thing. All the achronim said back to the Hamudei Daniel, what do you mean? The shach says that toenails are just as bad as fingernails. Halacha l'maisa, it's hard to be makel in toenails like this Hamudei Daniel against the shach. But what we do say is we make a compromise based on the taz.
based on this pass. Since in toenails, women are often not makbid on, like, dirt that's not so big, therefore, b'dieved, if there was dirt in toenails, then we think most women are not makbid so much on toenails because it's harder to notice, right? It's further away from your eyes. Therefore, we're more makel in toenails, A, because the Chamuna Daniel said that he thinks it's not a problem, B, because most women are not so makbid, but we're not making legamri in toenails, because the Shach said that toenails are as bad as fingernails. So that's the compromise. We're more makel in toenails, because if we say, look, most women would mind this in their fingernails, they wouldn't mind it in their toenails, it's not such a big dirt. Then we're makel b'dieved in toenails. Okay. We will have to continue Amir Tzoshem on Tuesday.
Do you know how long the minhag of having a mikra lady goes back?
It's a good question.